Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
It's 5 minutes past seven. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight, you're joined by Dil, Nason, and Annalise. Team, how are we?
Great.
We're wonderful today. Thank you for asking.
Oh, well, it was my absolute pleasure in asking.
Well, you know, it's a public holiday tomorrow, so I think everyone's okay today.
National Sleeping Day.
Everyone is ready to rage in Victoria tonight, I can say that. If you've got any party plans for tonight, or if you want to join in the conversation at any point, make sure you text in on 0427-JOY-949, or you can send us an email on onair@joy.org.au, or you can even call the babe at front desk on 1300-JOY-949. What are we talking about tonight, guys?
Oh, we have some interesting topics today, actually.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a little bit meaty. We're going to talk about confidence in dating up first, and then a little bit maybe about unisex bathrooms, if you guys are up for it.
Mm. Oh, definitely up for it. It's one of my favourite topics, actually.
Actually, you were saying before how, like, gender and I guess the whole gender blending is, like, one of your key passions, Annalise.
Yes, gender is definitely one of my favourite topics, mostly because it's one of those things that people don't really think about very often. Like, people kind of combine it with sex, which is a little bit upsetting, but it's still one of those things I'm very passionate about trying to, you know, make people more aware of, I guess.
Break the mold, so to speak.
Yeah.
We're also, later on in the show, we'll be talking to the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus. They'll be dropping by and having a bit of a chat to us about their...
A bit of a sing-song to us, I hope.
Yeah, so do I. We did try and grill them outside and they seemed a little bit nervous.
I don't know, it's better them than us singing, you know.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to hear us sing today.
Or do you? Text in at 427-JOY-949.
Please don't. Text us, but not about that.
Hey, what did you guys get up to on your weekend?
Oh, Fat Club. Well,
there's an in-joke behind that. Annalise, you want to share about Fight Club? Is that because you were saying that it's your hidden message or when you go out and have a heavy weekend?
Yeah, well, at school we have this code word because we have a no drug and alcohol policy. So whenever we're talking about our weekends and we go to say, like, you know, I got really smashed or whatever, we just say Fight Club. So that's pretty much
rule.
Like, that pretty much sums up my weekend, like every weekend and tonight in advance.
You don't look physically, literally hammered, do you? You know, you don't rock up and then, you know, you're bleeding at school all over your face or something.
Black eye.
Like, if we do, then we just say Fight Club and they know what we mean and they pretend they don't.
Ignorance is
like,
bliss.
Huh? Yeah, you know, it was Halloween.
Halloween was good, wasn't it, guys?
Oh, Halloween was amazing.
Did you guys
get
the
best excuse to be a slut.
Exactly. Did you get some sassy costumes in? What did you guys wear?
Well, I didn't dress up for Halloween. I was actually in my home clothes, so I was wearing a pair of trackies and, you know, not my most sexy of clothes.
Ah,
well, it's pretty horrifying.
Well, my housemate, she was like, oh, are you dressed as a homeless? And I was like, dressed, costume.
Yeah. I pretty much wore a burlesque outfit on Friday night, but I had condoms in my stockings and I just said that it was prostitute costume. And on Thursday, I went as a dead maid. But, like, the sluttiest version I could possibly come up with.
Well, I like the dead maid idea. I think that's very, like, Gaga-esque, you know, with the whole...
Well, I was thinking more American Horror Story, but... Yeah.
Have you been watching the third season?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to make of the third season just yet. Nelson, what did you get up to?
Oh,
sorry.
I was going to talk about American Horror Story.
We can talk about that.
Just how the third season, I don't know, does it feel a little bit tired? It's not grabbed me the way that the second has.
It's a little bit more slow-moving, I feel, but... It's just because it's so different. It's a bit like Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm not entirely into it, but I am.
Well,
like,
it seems that this season is more about the characters and the characters' progression.
Yeah.
The storyline seems a little bit more hodgepodge. You know, there was a lot of, spoiler alert, in the second season there was the introduction of crazy stuff like aliens into the series.
Aliens, Nazi surgeons.
But it seemed, you know, cohesive. This time it doesn't feel like it's getting there yet, but I trust them. They'll probably...
I know they'll do something because they can't disappoint me. It's my show.
Well, that's... Yeah, I'm really worried that they are going to... That it might not go anywhere, if you know what I mean. Like, it could be quite stagnant.
Yeah.
But look, hey, it's still early on in the season. But look, we've got more of Generation X coming up in a tick.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We're talking tonight about confidence in dating and what it's like. How? Because are you confident when approaching an interest of the heart or loins?
You know, it's just there are so many ways that you could go about meeting the person, and I think you guys would find the same.
Well, I think it depends on whether you're talking to them on Grindr or in person.
Hornet. I think this is a two-part chat. So I think why don't we start off first saying, talking about face-to-face. How do you go about talking to an interest face-to-face?
Well, I don't know. There's this lovely lady opposite me.
Stop it.
Alcohol is a big social lubricant, obviously.
Yes.
But
it's just like taking Amyl. Like, it just really loosens you up.
Well, taking away, I guess, tools of inebriation, do you find it comfortable to be able to approach somebody and talk to them while sober?
I want to say yes, but I think the setting has to be right. It's funny, situations like work actually are places where I'd be the most comfortable approaching someone and saying something, but then that would not fit with the decorum of customer-staff member relations. Mm-hmm. But you know when you see someone at a bar, you can always pretend just to be someone else or in some other mental state. So that's always a good place to do it. And, you know, there's not the... you might be a little bit inhibited still, but you can get away with saying a lot more at a bar, you know?
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Annalise, what about yourself?
Well, I think Nelson has a bit more confidence when it comes to talking to anyone. So I generally rely on my social lubricant.
Yep.
But it really just depends on where I am and how comfortable I am in the place. So, like, when I'm at a place that feels homely to me, then I'm a bit more confident, whereas if I'm just on the streets, I'm like, oh, no, she's looking at me. What am I doing?
So... Annalise, what signal would someone give you that would indicate that you were able to go and talk to her?
With lesbians, I generally, like, wait until they come and talk to me. But if they don't come up and talk to me, it's just, like, you kind of look out for signals, like, you know, if they look at you a certain way or, you know, if they start, like, moving kind of closer to you.
That little shuffle across.
Start breathing at you.
Yeah, like if they're breathing on your neck or something, that might be a bit of an indicator. I don't know.
You're popping drugs in your drink. No,
that is bad.
That's probably a bad indication. But
that is a real, that is not of the dating lifestyle, I would imagine. Although I don't date very well, so maybe... No, yeah. That's horrible. Because I don't know what it is. I can talk to a politician and discuss their policies, but I cannot talk to a guy.
It's unbridled, you know? You don't necessarily have the template as you would when you're talking to a politician. You've got this framework of policy. Mm. And, you know, when you want to find something out about someone, you can't probe in a journalistic way.
Well, for example, Chappelle, who hosts, you know, the Chappelle Show on Saturdays, Joy's hip hop show, her and I went out one night and there was a really, really drop dead gorgeous guy working in the cloak. And I couldn't talk to him. I think I muttered along the lines of, "Wow, you're really hot. Can I touch your bicep?" And then I realized what I was doing and then tried to backpedal into a conversation. And then it was just this smorgasbord of words, not even in a sentence. It was just kind of like, "Hi, and I'm," and then I just ran away. I actually ran down the stairs away, leaving Chappelle upstairs with them. So
I think we all know what that's like, though.
Yeah.
But I think it's easier if you have a pickup line, which is always fun.
Do you have a pickup line?
I usually start with like, "Hi, how you going? When's your birthday?" That's usually my pickup
line. Okay. So my birthday is 7th of April. What comes next?
So that makes you an Aries.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
means
yeah.
You're pretty adventurous, right?
Yeah, I am a little bit adventurous. I do like to play. And then what happens? What happens now? This is exciting.
I don't know. It just kind of moves from there. You just like gain conversation. Usually they pull out something like, "Oh, so you're into star signs or horoscopes or something?"
Yeah, you are into star signs and horoscopes from the sound of things. Do you find that puts you at ease? Because, you know, certain star signs are more compatible with others.
Well, it's a bit easier, like compatibility aside, because I don't entirely rely on it. I do pay a little bit of attention to it, but I find it's more helpful when it comes to getting to know people. So, like, once I know their star sign, I can be like, okay, so they'll probably respond to this, like, this kind of a conversation. So if I talk to them about things I feel like they might be interested in, I'll be like, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the initial first step. How do you actually get to the dating from there? Yeah, so say...
Not even so much the dating, perhaps. What about, like, just, you know, the night of pleasure?
It's such a make or break thing, isn't it?
Actually, what I want to know is, how do gay guys do it? Because I know lesbians just kind of like, you'll be talking, then it's like, "Let's go dance." And then the second you're on the dance floor, that's it. They just kind of pull you in. But with gay guys, it's a bit different because I've noticed there's not usually as much talking involved.
I just never
know how it happens. It's just like 1 minute they're just like looking at each other, next minute.
Bit of tongue punching.
Tongue punching, cool. I feel as though I've just had a mental blank.
Okay, well, Nelson, how do you go, like, do you prefer to do the approaching or do you prefer to be the approach?
Do you know gay guys have this big ego complex? They never like to be the one to make the first move. So I'm always the one that swallows my pride and approaches them. But then again, I find I'm too worried that I'll miss out on someone. So I go, he's good. I'll talk to all of them at once and see which the best reaction is that I get.
So is that why guys go on Grindr instead?
That's it.
So they can choose the best one.
The thing with Grindr is you're never satisfied because you're always wondering what's the next best thing or the best thing that could come after this.
Yeah, it's like maybe if I go on the next street I'll find someone better.
It's true. I hate that when you finally get to that date stage with someone, so maybe someone that you didn't even meet through Grindr, and they are sitting there and you hear the noise on their phone. You go, what's sense in that?
I hate that when I'm talking to a guy in a club and you can hear the little that little chirp. And it makes me think, how much of a douchebag are you? Like, am I interesting you? Am I putting you off? Are you not satisfied with me right now? And then I start to look the crazy person and have to back away.
It really limits the potential for anything to further itself because you I keep doing this thing where I get this dry mouth. Thank God no one's kissing me right now. No, it limits the potential to go anywhere other than somewhere for sex with that, you know? Because if he is talking to you and he's on Grindr at the same time in the club, he wants one thing.
Yeah. That's so true.
That is really true. Now, moving on, I guess, just to apps outside, not in a face-to-face capacity, but apps, do you feel like it's a bit more free-forming to have a conversation or do you find there's still, like, inhibitions that you have?
Okay, well, I don't use apps very often except when I'm really bored and just think it'll be funny. But when I have used apps, it's pretty much, like, it's pretty easy to talk to people on there without obsessing over it. But I talk to them exactly the same way that I talk to them in person. I'd be like, "Oh, when's your birthday? You know, what's your favorite animal?" Just random shit. Like, I always just ask random questions, especially when I'm nervous. Yep. So I just like ask people random questions until I feel a bit more comfortable. It's like, okay, I know everything about you. It's okay.
But how do you draw the line between, like, I guess being having a question and wanting to know more about them to going on to
obsessiveness?
Yeah, because I feel like I don't really, when I'm talking to a guy on an app, I feel like I'm asking them too many questions, and then the next sentence I'm going to send out is like, I don't know, I'm making a doll made out of meat to make it more human. Would you like to help me?
Fine line, isn't it?
I always feel the exact same way, but I find that I always just scrap it and just, like, if they're not interested or if they feel like I'm asking too many questions, they'll either tell me or stop talking to me.
Yeah.
So...
although
yeah.
Some people do take that very personally, and sometimes it's just a case of their perception of what you said, and yeah. they may infer whatever they want from that because you're only giving them a limited number of facts and a picture to work off. Yeah. So, you know, I think people get really disheartened, even crestfallen sometimes about no messages or talking to someone hot and then it stops and they think it's their fault. But really, you know, everyone is just on there for themselves.
that's true. Hey, we'd like to know your opinion on this matter. Text in 0427JOY949. How do you go about having confidence in dating, whether that's face-to-face or apps? We'd like to hear from you. Up next is our chat with the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus. And we've got more Gen Next coming up right after this.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
And Generation Next is now back in a full kicking studio. It's 24 minutes to 8. That last track was Madonna's Music. And we are still graced with the presence of Alex and Morgan from the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus.
Hi.
How are you feeling now?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think good.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
So oh, good. Good.
Good.
Really good. It works out quite lovely.
So now when they sing for us, it'll be loud enough for everyone to hear.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not happening.
I'm pretty sure it will. Now, before we jump to that classic Madonna song, you were saying how the chorus was started.
Oh, yeah. So we're actually part of a bigger chorus, the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, which started about 20 years ago. But in 2005, they decided to try and get more young people involved in their choir. So, they started the youth chorus, and now we have, like, our own rehearsals and our own performances. But, yeah, we all sometimes perform with the other chorus. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, so if you're performing with the other chorus, I'm imagining there'd be a bit of a difference in the songs that you guys choose to sing. So how do you choose what to perform? What's the criteria for that?
We do a lot of different styles of music. There's not one that we sort of, you know, stick to, but we do have a preference for, you know, upbeat pop songs. But it's a bit of a, you know, we get suggestions and if we like them, you know.
Yeah. Are there any favourites?
What are we doing now? Probably Vogue. It's worked since Madonna. Yes. We just did Madonna. We're doing Vogue right now, and that's
so.
Yeah,
could
that's
you give
really
us
good.
An example of this?
Okay, well, I'm actually doing the spoken in okay, Vogue.
Then bust it out.
Yeah, so,
here's where you find it. So, yeah, guys, yeah. Come on.
So, Greta Garbo and Monroe, Dietrich and DiMaggio, Marlon Brando, Jimmy Dean, on the cover of a magazine. There you go. There's a bit of.
Do you know, you should see
that was beautiful.
You should see the smile on Annalise's face right now.
I'm a minor Madonna fan. Like,
oh, good.
She's all right. She's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Annalise's guilty pleasure in life is Madonna. That's like one of her like holy grails.
I don't know if that's guilty. I think that's just everyone.
Yeah.
Anyone who is like has good taste in everything.
Okay, yeah. Good.
So, why did you join the chorus?
You can go.
I, funnily enough, was encouraged by this lovely lady sitting next to me. We worked together, and then she found out, one, that I was gay, and then two, that I was a singer. So she was like, you have to come and join my chorus. So I was like, well, okay. And then, yeah, ever since then, I've, you know, really enjoyed it.
So Morgan and Alex, we'll find out your reason for joining. But Morgan, you didn't share a performance with us before. So what's your contribution to Vogue?
To Vogue? Oh, man, I don't...
Oh, what are the songs?
Morgan's actually doing a solo at the concert. Maybe he could do a little bit of that.
Yeah,
so,
I'd love to hear that.
Come on, Morgan.
I'm
Captain
singing
Morgan.
A crazy little thing called Love by Queen.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So,
no pressure.
This thing called love. I just can't handle it, this thing called love. I must get round to it.
Wow. Who else is hard? Whoa.
Sorry,
I've got a semi, let's be honest.
Thanks, guys.
And Alex, why did you join the chorus?
Well, actually, mine was pretty funny as well. My current housemate, I ran into her at a party a couple of years ago, and I told her that I was gay, and she immediately followed that up with, "Do you like to sing? Would you like to join my choir?" Which I feel like is a common occurrence with how we recruit. You just,
yeah, it's pretty much like, you're gay, you must be into this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you must. Oh, and you sing too. Oh, it's a match made in heaven. Yeah, and then I forgot about it, and then ran into people at Midsummer, and that got me back into it, and just sort of remembered the whole her telling me that when she was drunk when I ran into her at rehearsal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because normally Midsummer's the place you go to completely forget certain, certain memories. Now, do you have any advice for someone who's wanting to join the Melbourne Youth Chorus?
Well, firstly, just get in contact with people. If you go to mglc.org.au, you can get the email address and we'll give you the information. But anyone is welcome, absolutely anyone, no matter your level of singing ability. And the youth chorus is for people between 16 and 29. And just come along to a rehearsal. You can check out just one rehearsal and see if you like it. And just come along.
And what about someone who would like to start a chorus?
I kind of thought about this before, and I was like, well, our chorus is amazing and we have so much fun, so why would you want to start your own? But
I can imagine if you want to start a gay and lesbian chorus, just like anyone you know who's gay, just like, you're in my chorus.
Yeah, no, it would be pretty easy, but it's definitely it's like, you know, we have a good community, so we'd love to see, you know, anyone and everyone come down and, you know, have a sing and have a chat, because we'd really, be good.
Nice.
That's lovely. You're teaming up with Massive as well, so we've got to promote this event. So you're teaming up with Massive, so you're doing a hip-hop showcase and you're doing some collaborations, is that correct?
Yeah, Massive Fam are a hip-hop choir and they rehearse in Footscray and they're really, really cool. Much cooler than us, we keep saying. Less likely to burst into show tunes. And yeah, we're singing two songs with them. A song from a Polynesian island, which I've forgotten the name of again.
Toke Lau,
called Tagihina. And they're also joining with us to sing Same Love. Macklemore, Same Love. And they're also singing four songs themselves, which are all original compositions, like choral hip hop, which is just like, lovely. Never heard of it before, but it's so cool.
And when can our lovely Joy 94.9 listeners see the Melbourne Youth Chorus, or the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus?
So our upcoming concert is on Sunday. So this Sunday, the 10th of November, at 75 on Reed, which is a venue in North Fitzroy, which is on 75 Reed Street, at 3:30 p.m. And we'd love to see you get down there and support it.
The tickets are available on possible.com/mglyc, but if you Google anything, any of these words, you should find it.
Sensational. Well, thank you so much for coming by and hanging out and singing to us.
We loved it. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Smiles.
We've got more Generation next after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Now we're going to jump into the news.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's Gay School.
Mm-hmm.
A national conference in Geelong earlier in the month, well, last month, was a key step towards reforms to improve the manner in which the health system interacts with young trans and intersex people, according to its organisers. This conference was held on October 22nd. The conference on October 22nd was hosted by Geelong's Adolescent Sexuality Project and involved representatives from the National LGBTI Health Alliance, the Zoe Bell Gender Centre, Transgender Victoria, Organisation Intersex International Australia, Androgynon Insensitivity Syndrome Support Group Australia, and the Public Interest Law Clearinghouse. I think this is a good step, because the conference actually helped shine a spotlight on some of the disparities in the health system faced by trans and intersex people, which resulted in the impending establishment of a national advisory group, which is working towards a care pathways model. Annalisa, with gender being one of your key passions, do you think that more talks and more conference need to be held and discussed regarding health disparities for trans and intersex people?
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to trans and intersex people, they are mostly overlooked when it comes to anything health related, anything equality related, even like when it comes to same sex marriage. You know, it pretty much the laws only apply to same sex couples and not people who are gender queer or people who are genderless, even.
Right, that's really true, because it seems that as we want to grow in a society and have more of a gender inclusion, there's still a big focus on binary gender roles.
Yep.
What do you think, like, how long do you think it'll take for people, or at least for our country, to move towards, I guess, having non-gender binary roles?
Well, I think the more we talk about it, it's definitely, like, it's being more talked about now, and it's starting to kind of be put on people's agendas. But it's still going to be a fair while, because genderqueer people still aren't getting any representation in the media.
Mm.
Or, like, if they do get represented, it's in a negative way most of the time.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's almost like a stereotype, and they have to be almost ridiculed.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not conducive.
They're either ridiculed by other people, or they ridicule themselves because, you know, they hate themselves for being different from everyone else, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but so. I mean, I guess we've walked down similar paths. I mean, I used to absolutely despise, and not so much despise, but definitely put down and not celebrate, I guess, my gay, that part of my own personality. So,
but it's just because it's the way we're trained when we're younger. People are just like, anything that is different from what we're used to is not okay.
That's true. In other news, in an interview on Channel 10, Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull hinted that the mood inside the Liberal Party room was reasonably likely to move to a free vote on the issue of same-sex marriage. However, he didn't give any indication whether there would be sufficient numbers to pass the bill, even if that occurred. Do you think that if there was a free vote on the issue, do you think that people would fall into party ranks and they would just still say no, or do you think there'd be a push for same-sex marriage passing?
I think most people these days agree with same-sex marriage, because it's become, like, for starters, we've spoken about it that much over the past few years that it's impossible to ignore it. So people are just kind of getting sick of talking about it even. And even people who didn't agree with it to begin with, they're like, okay, well, if we give them this, then they'll shut up. So I think it's fairly likely that same-sex marriage could pass everywhere now if it was based on each individual voting.
Would you? I guess it's not really in context with the article, but would you ever get married? Would you walk down that that lonely aisle? Or I suppose it wouldn't be a lonely aisle. That's not the.
Well, it depends on which aisle you're talking about, but. No, I personally wouldn't get married, just because, you know, it doesn't really fit into my belief system or whatever, but I still believe that every single person should have the option to do what makes them happy. And for a lot of people, getting married is something that they feel would make them happy. So yeah. I think it's ridiculous that anyone doesn't have the option because of these, you know, medieval...
Yeah.
Points of view.
It's really, really archaic views, but I agree, because I'd like the opportunity to say no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't agree with the institution of marriage. However, I agree that my friends who've been in committed relationships for years and years and they want to get the same legal rights that every other couple in Australia has, I think that's something that shouldn't be put down or ignored.
Yeah, and the same with, like, intersex people and trans people as well. I feel like that's completely overlooked when it comes to the issues of, like, marriage equality. And we call it marriage equality as well and don't include people still in that.
Yeah, it's weird, hey?
But it's one of those things, and it's just like, you know, even, like, even if we do only just start with same-sex marriage now, at least that's one step. Like, we're getting closer. So.
Yeah, that's right. In just to finish up, because we are nearly out of time here on Generation Next, but British LGBTI refugees are being forced to prove their sexuality. This came to light after an independent committee report in the UK recently found that gay and lesbian asylum seekers were being told that they must prove their sexuality in order to enter the country. Now, in addition to the report, the battleground... has said the battleground is now firmly centred in proving that they are gay. In turn, this has led to claimants going to extreme lengths to try to meet the new demands of credibility assessment in this area, including the submission of photographic and video evidence of highly personal sexual activity to caseworkers, presenting officers and judiciary.
I think they're just perverts.
Yeah, I think someone's just looking for amateur porn, but that's such a line to cross. These people are already in a very vulnerable state.
Yeah.
And they've entered the country, well, they've entered,
They already go through enough just to get, like, to get out of where they come from, you know, to escape, so...
And a lot of these people, they are, if they were, homosexuality is a crime in their home country.
Yeah.
So... It's ridiculous. It seems so cruel and such at great lengths.
It's like as if they haven't gone through enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And very sorry to end the show, Gen X listeners, on such a sour note. But hey, we'll be back
well,
next week.
Well, maybe if Dylan sings for us, it might be a
Annalise,
nice...
Annalise, they may be depressed. I don't want them to rupture any eardrums.
Yeah, we don't want you to get too depressed over that. We don't want the glass shattering, but
it'd be
maybe
awful.
Next week.
Maybe next week. You know what? I wouldn't hold my breath on that. Until next week, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.